stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill. Glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night, divine, oh, night, when Christ was he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise, we let all
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
What a night we celebrate. The whole reason that we celebrate Christmas is because a baby boy was born to Mary in this little town of Bethlehem, fulfilling all the prophecies about being the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, a special child, the most special child. Thus, the reason why today we still celebrate the birth of this one. In 2,000 years from now, we won't celebrate my birthday. We won't celebrate yours either. I hate to break it to you. But 2,000 years after the birth of Christ, we're still celebrating that special day. The problem that we have today is authenticity. The problem we have 2,000 years ago is the question as to whether we can look at this one Jesus who says he's the Messiah, the King of Kings, the one who fulfills all of these prophecies. And the question is, did he exist and is he really who he says he is? Legitimate questions that should be answered, not just going through and say, well, I kind of have faith, and well, maybe sort of kind of could be. There should be evidence. I like to watch this this show on television, Pawn Stars. Anybody watch this? So you enjoy it as well. I enjoy it. You have to be careful of how you say that as well, especially in church. So I enjoy watching this because they'll come and someone will come in and they'll bring to the counter this thing that they perceive and believe to be extremely valuable. Or on the other side, they'll come and bring something that they're like, well, I have this, it's left or I just got to get rid of it. Maybe I'll take a couple dollars for it. And so they come and they say, this is what I want to do. And I've seen a lot of these shows, and it's just intriguing to watch. And then there's this Antiques one that's on Channel 12. I forget what that's called. What's it called? Oh, yeah, Antiques Roadshow. Okay, so that's kind of fun to watch as well. Not quite as entertaining, you know. But so you watch this, and they bring this piece in, whether it's a piece of art or it's a piece of literature or whatever it might be, even cars, motorcycles, and stuff like that. And they'll bring it in. They'll say, we want to sell this. And he'll ask them, well, how much do you want for it? And they'll give some crazy price, and some will be like way up there, $10,000, and they kind of laugh. And then here's what he does. He says, I'm not sure that this is authentic or not. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call in an expert. I want to call in an expert, and I want to have this expert take a look and say, is this true or not? And so the expert comes in, and sometimes, you know, it looks all good, and everything's great, and the guy's, he's starting to drool. He's like, this is worth $250,000. You've seen this one? And this is worth so much, I can't wait. You're going to write me a check. I want cash when I walk out of here. Can't wait. And the guy comes in, and he says, yeah, you know, I hate to say it, but this is a fake. And, oh, man, his dreams of retirement, her dreams of retirement are dashed, you know, or vacation, whatever it might be. And it just, he disproves the authenticity, the value of a thing. We started this series, 'Twas the Life Before Christmas, and I talked about this painting that my father did back in 1990. And let's see if I can move it a little bit closer so you can see it. And so I took the liberty of taking this from my father's house and sort of with his permission, and I think he knows that I have it, which is all good, but please don't tell him. But it is on the website, and I haven't told him yet about the thing on the website, but we'll figure that out. It might be copyright infringement laws. I'm not sure, but I'm his son, so it should be okay. But really cool painting. I know my dad did this because I know that guy. And I saw him do all kinds of paintings. I know the style of how he does his paintings even. His signature is at the bottom, and he always puts what year he does it. I know his signature well. I look at this, and I can say, because I would be an expert in the field of looking at my father's paintings because I've looked at them for many years, and I could say with 100% accuracy, my father did this. And when my dad's dead, then it will be valuable. Right now, it's valued at a few hundred dollars probably. But when this is how artists work, you're not valuable until you're dead for some reason. So I'm not hoping that he dies anytime soon because I'm not looking to sell this either. So you follow what I'm saying here. But if he dies and he becomes famous, then I could be a millionaire or something like that because of a few paintings. But I'll never sell them, so I'm not sure what to do with that. I know it's authentic. When we look at this whole season with Jesus Christ and saying, okay, is he really who he says he is? I would want to call in the experts. And 2,000 years ago, the experts were there. 2,000 years ago, the experts were there to identify whether Jesus was really who he says he would be. These people would be the Pharisees and the scribes, really. These people were the ones that they should know. They should be able to look at the truth, and they should say it has this and that and the other thing. And when you'd watch this show and you'd see the experts look at different things, if they were to look at this painting, what would they look for? They would look for the signature. They would look to make sure it's not a print. They would look to see if it has these resemblance and see what kind of condition it's in. They would look at verifiable, truthful things within that to make sure that it is accurate. It is really what it says it is. Well, within this series of going through the genealogies, and we've been in Matthew chapter 1. Can you believe I did 3 messages on genealogies? Is this great or what? I mean, who can do this? This is, yeah, anyway. I impressed myself almost, but it's just that rich, truthfully. It really is. And I hope you've enjoyed it as well. But when we look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, he walks us down through, and it's proof that Jesus is who he says he is. That's the whole reason for it. It's historical proof that to identify that Jesus is who he says he is. Now, here's the interesting thing. At the end of Jesus' life, which is still the life before Christmas, because Christmas didn't start until after Jesus died and rose again. So 'twas the life before Christmas is still at this point. Luke 22, we find these Pharisees and the scribes and chief priests and such, they gather together, and this is right before Jesus is put to death. And they come and they assembled together in verse 66 of Luke 22. It says, when they came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council. And they said, and so here's what they do. They come together in their council, and these would be the experts in the field. And here's what they do. In verse 67, it's a very interesting thing that they're doing. They ask him, if you are the Christ being the Messiah, the chosen one, the one that it talks about from the beginning of Scripture all the way through. Do you remember with Adam? It talks about with Adam and Eve after they sinned. It talked about this one that will come to save the people from their sin. It talks about that with Abraham, where Abraham, you're going to have this one who's going to save the people from their sin. And it talks about this when you go forward with David, King David. David, there's going to be one from your line. And so the genealogy goes from huge with Adam, firstborn of creation, going all the way through, and you'd see from Abraham and then into David and Solomon and such, where it narrows and says, okay, it's going to be this tiny little line of this person, and it's going to get smaller and smaller, and this person has to fulfill this. And then there's more, born here and at this time, and all kinds of other prophecies that this one person would have to fulfill. Who would know all these prophecies except for the experts? And here's what they do. It's fascinating. They turn to him in a court of law, and they say, if you're the Christ, tell us. If you're really who you say you are, tell us. Here's the reality. They would not need to hear from him that he is the Christ, because they have the verifiable truth from the Scriptures to be able to look and say, he is the Christ. He is the one. You'd look and you'd say, okay, the genealogies alone, it would point to this one. The genealogies would discredit Jesus. If he was not of the right line, the genealogies would discredit him 100%. And they would have a big deal to be able to say to him, hey, listen, you don't fulfill this. There's no way. And then they'd be able to look and they would say, okay, we have to be born here. There's no way. It has to be at this time. The wise men knew when it was. And, you know, it has to be. And they would say, there's no way. You don't fulfill the... But here's the reality. He fulfilled every single prophecy. They had nothing on him. They had nothing. So the experts are there saying to him, well, if you're the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. If I ask you, you will not answer. It goes down to explain a little bit further, but I want to stop there. The context of the whole thing is, here's them asking Jesus, are you really this guy? They didn't want to do this for the sake of discovering information. Have you ever done that? You ask a question, somebody asks you a question, they're not asking for information. They're asking because they're looking to corner you. Have you ever been there? Husbands, wives, you never do this to each other, do you? Where you ask a question. Wives might do this a little bit more frequently sometimes than husbands, but husbands do it just as well. where husbands, we don't see it coming sometimes, and they'll say, "Hey, what do you think of this dress?" How do you answer that? Unless if she doesn't like it. Then it's, "Oh, I'm wrong, stink." Oh, here's what they're doing. They're asking Jesus, "Okay, are you this one? Because if you are, if you say you are, we're going to put you into prison because we're going to have at it with you. And if you say you're not, then we're going to discredit everything." And here's the reality. They were not willing to base their life on truth. They didn't want Jesus to be the Messiah. They didn't want him to be the Christ. They didn't want him to be the king, because if he is the king, that means they have to change. They were not interested in change because they liked their life just the way it was. I find that's still true today. We can look at the truth in life, and you can say, okay, is Jesus who he says he is? And I find all the time that I'll go and say, hey, let's look at the scriptures, because these don't lie. They've stayed the same for 2,000 years. We have historical evidence that these have stayed the same for 2,000 years. That's historical fact. So you look and say, okay, this has to say something of value then. And I find a lot of people, they don't want to look at the truth. They want to go on their feeling and well, if this one goes against me, then I'd rather be king of my own life. Here's the interesting thing, the genealogy. As we've been looking at this in Matthew chapter 1, you look at Abraham walking all the way through David and such, and you have all these generations. Here's the fascinating thing. The genealogy would tell you whether Jesus could even be the Messiah or not. And at that point in time, you remember what happened with Mary and Joseph? There was a census that they had to fulfill. And where did they have to go for the census? Back to their hometown. This was the place where Jesus had to be born. The Messiah had to be born so that the prophecies could be fulfilled. And so they go back to this place. A census had to be. In order to do a census like that, in order to even know where your roots are, and this is going back even to David, it's identifying that they're from the family line of David. So in order for all of this to happen, they would have to keep track of their genealogy. Where do you keep track of the genealogy? If you're in Hebrew culture, you'd have it in the temple. You literally have that in the temple where you could pull out the scroll and you'd have all these things where you'd be able to say, okay, here's the genealogy structure of where this family is and how this all ties in. And then they could verify and prove that this one comes from the line of David. This is kind of intricate stuff, isn't it? It's Christmas Eve. You're making us think. Why are you doing this to me? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, just one more time, okay? And then we'll be done. School's out. I know, it's 70 AD, it's fascinating. 70 AD, in that culture, the temple was destroyed. The records even of the genealogies then, after that, destroyed. To be able to identify today whether the Messiah is through the line of David, you literally could not do it today. You couldn't do it 200 years after Jesus or 500 years, because that's been destroyed. The Jewish people today don't even know the tribe and such that they would be from. You'd have a lot of problems within that, and I'm not going to get into all of that. Why do I say this? It had to be fulfilled at that time. It had to be. All of the evidence, if I'm looking to authenticate, all of the evidence points to this one time, this one person from this one family in this one town. It has to be only and always Jesus Christ. He is the Christ, the Messiah. Now I get excited about that. Why? You see, I observe the evidence. I consider myself just someone that looks at the evidence. And am I an expert? I don't know. I've studied in a long time, and I'm still in a lot of study for this. But I keep going back and I study more and I keep on seeing Jesus is the Christ. And here's the reality. If Jesus is the Christ, then today he makes a difference in our lives and in our culture if we allow him to. Today, by trusting in Jesus Christ. You remember on Sunday, if you were here on Sunday, we talked about Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, who came and he's talking to Jesus in a private conversation. And Jesus says, you must be born again. And he goes and he describes why he's come. He says, God loves the world so much that he would send Jesus Christ, his one and only son, to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world so that those that believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It starts very simply with belief, trust in Jesus Christ. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the only one that can pay for all of my sins so that I can have a relationship with God that is not only for today, but for all times. It changes everything. I no longer have to sit and wonder about my future. My future is totally secure through Jesus Christ. Not my religion, not how much money I give, not as to how good I am, not about any of this stuff. My future is absolutely secure through Jesus Christ alone. He is my Messiah. He saved me because I put my faith in him because he's done it all. And I just say, okay, I accept your gift. It's awesome. It's awesome. That's where it should be. And for each and every one of us, it should be there, yes? Yes? This is what Christmas is all about. For each and every one of us, it should come back and we should say, okay, I get it. He's the real deal. I look and I say, okay, I can study out the genealogy. I can study out the historical proof and all the proof about Jesus being the one that he says he is, and he's the one that's come to save me from my sin. So I place my faith in him. So every year Christmas comes around, and it's, I know we get gifts and we do all that stuff, but that is nowhere near as precious as the best gift of all, Jesus Christ. So we come tonight and we say, this is celebration time. We don't have to worry about opening anything right now. We don't have to worry. We get to celebrate. Jesus is truly the Christ. In John 20, 31, John is one of Jesus' closest friends. He refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. In John chapter 20, 31, and verse 31, he goes and he writes and gets this one point and summarizes basically all of the writings that he has here in this Gospel of John. And he says, these things are written so that you could know that Jesus is the Christ. It's awesome. And do you know when Jesus was up on the cross, there was a debate as to Jesus being the Christ. While he's on the cross, the Roman guards were making fun of him and saying, if you're really the Christ, if you're the Messiah, if you're the Son of God, the King of Kings, if you're that guy, then pull yourself down from the cross. The guy on the one side, the thief on the one side of him, he's laughing at him saying, yeah, listen, if you're really that guy, the Christ, literally says that, if you're the Christ, then why don't you pull yourself down? Oh, and us too. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan for the Christ, for Jesus, was that Jesus would come, he would be born through Mary, he would live this life to share the hope that he brings to the world. And then he would give his life willingly to pay for all of our sins so that after he raises from the dead, sin is totally conquered. And then today and for all ages to come, we have this opportunity to place our faith in him. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. It's reason for celebration. So my challenge then is, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? I didn't ask if you go to church. Did you catch that? And ask how much money, we're not even taking an offering tonight. Shame on us, right? You're like, I have extra money. Sorry. It's not about all that. It's, did you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Isn't this great? No pressure, no guilt. It's just an opportunity. And at that one moment of accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, it changes everything. You have hope for life to come and purpose for the life you're living. So then what do you do with that? Here's the cool thing. If Jesus is the real deal, follow my train of thought for just a minute. You ready? If he's the real deal, how valuable is Jesus then? If he's being auctioned off tonight and you guys were billionaires, okay? And we started at $5. How many would give $5 for Jesus? More? 1,000? 1,000,000? Anybody? Anybody? 2,000,000? How many would give everything you got for Jesus? It's like a dumb question, right? Like, for real? Obviously, he gave everything for us. I'd give everything. Like, yeah, that's... So what are you doing with him? I got this really cool painting from my dad. And stolen or given, I'm not sure yet. But we could talk about that some other time. But it's my dad's, kind of my painting, right? Do you know what I'd do with this? It's different than the set of china that I have. I have a set of china that I told you a couple weeks ago, Charles Dickens' set of china. You know where I set that? It's up in the attic. Because there's no way to authenticate other than my great aunt writing a note saying this is where it came from. There's really kind of no way of authenticating it except for it's kind of been passed down through our generations, and it would just be, well, I think it is, and well, it's from that time period, and maybe it is. It's a really cool story. It's probably not worth a lot. This, I know, is my dad's. Guess where this sits? See, it's so valuable to me. I put it on my wall in my office. I've had numerous ones, and many of you have come in and said, man, that's a really cool painting, and there's a couple of them in my office. I display it for people to see. I don't hide it. I don't put it I'm going to protect it, and that's not who I am. Guess what? If you value Jesus so much, wouldn't you want to display Jesus in your life for all to see? Wouldn't that be the way you'd go? And if that's where you'd go, wouldn't you say, well, I'm not sure how to display him? Well, guess where you learn about that? It's right here. And on a weekly basis, we can get together and we can talk about this some more and be challenged again to say, you know what? Jesus is out on display in our lives. Are we living it? The worst thing, and I've grown up in a pastor's home, my dad was a pastor, one of the hardest things to watch in Christians is hypocrisy. And let's be honest, we're all hypocrites, aren't we? You've said something and you've gone against yourself, am I right? Don't lie to me now. But we're all there at some point. Here's the awesome thing. God's grace is so great. His forgiveness is so amazing. And he says, just keep going. Follow me. Get back up. Keep going. So my challenge tonight, as we look at Christmas, is God's given the greatest gift ever. So what are you doing with it? Are you hiding it? Are you like saving it for some special occasion in your closet somewhere? Or are you displaying it for all to see? The way you display it, is through your life, living it out with everyone around you. Can I give you a couple, maybe a little tips? Tomorrow, you can live out Jesus in your life by saying, thank you. Yes? What if you get a shirt that you really don't like? You've never had that happen, right? Here's what people do. How many of you do this when you get something you don't like? You pick it up in front of your face and say, wow, that's great. Anybody like that? Okay, there's a few of you. See that? Okay. And some of you, maybe you put your head down and, oh, that's really interesting. Okay. And you try to hide you're like, I don't even know what they were thinking. And okay, here, can we say thank you? Isn't that awesome? That's just displaying. Okay, let's go to another very practical thing. You can actually help to clean up too. That's all right too. Let's go to one more practical thing. What if you'd share what God has done in you with other people? Isn't that great? It's very simple. I'm putting the painting of Jesus in my life for everyone to see. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the celebration that we have. Thank you for this opportunity just to be reminded of the gift that you've given through Jesus Christ, your Son. And Lord, I pray for some that maybe this is confusing. Maybe this is hard to accept, hard to believe, and hard to take a step of faith in. Lord, guide them and teach them your ways. I pray for each and every one of us that we would display you in our lives as we would display the most valuable thing in our lives. And Lord, help us to live in a way that pleases you. Thank you, God, so much for all that you've done. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen.